and the electronic books, and these are not yet enough. We have another small library at the medical school premises. These are situated at the teaching hospital at Kabale Regional Hospital. They are not enough either. So, yes, these are challenges of space, challenges of your library resources, challenges of office space for staff and administrative staff. And in that area, we are still very, very weak.
Now, Professor Vikangaga, you were trained at a world-class medical school at Makerere in the 60s and the 70s. You also came here to the United States and you were trained at another world-class institution in medicine, and that is the University of California, San Francisco. Sincerely, if you were to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Kabale heart and soul, would you recommend, for example, your daughter or son, or a daughter or a son of a friend, to attend the School of Medicine at Kabale University?
That's a great question. You asked me that question, and truthfully, I would say no, because I probably would not want, you know, my child or relative to go through a process that is just beginning. That is the honest truth. Now, our challenge is to make this young medical school equip it with the most capabilities to train doctors that are at par with any other medical school. Currently, it's a very, like Professor said, it's a very, very young school. You know, we, meaning me and my associates, and we'll talk more about that, have been intertwined with the medical training for now several years. In fact, we are proud to graduate 4 obstetricians and gynecologists from that institution, or at least they're in the process of graduation. Now, when I compare them with our training, even in the 60s, in Mulago, there is a deviation, and the deviation is real. And if we denied it, we would be denying where the deficiencies are and what we need to do to address those deficiencies. One of them is a discordance between the responsibilities of the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health as to who is responsible for training of these doctors. What Uganda has done, which has been to leave the cost of training to the doctors, in my opinion, is a disaster, because training of doctors, the doctors have to spend all their effort, all their time, all their dedication to actually learning that discipline that they are trying to later on practice or give to the community. You can't then request them to pay for their education, because it's expensive to live in general. It's expensive to support a family, to send your kids to school. On top of that, to ask them to pay for their education when they are actually in the training process, providing services, you know, is something which maybe the dean would address. But that is a big hindrance to quality of training.
It seems to me, Professor Bikangaga, from what you just said, that there is a need, really, for probably a strategy for fundraising. There is a need, definitely, for a lot of money in order to get the appropriate infrastructure that you need to train a physician, a nurse, and perhaps an assistant physician to attend to the issues of healthcare in rural Uganda in general, and in Kavale specifically. I know that there are a lot of important people in the Ugandan government who watch Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday. If they were watching this program, Professor Bikangaga, could you please look direct in the camera and talk to those appropriate officials what you think to the best of your ability is needed in order to transform the School of Medicine at Kavale University into a serious institution that would have the ability and the wherewithal to address the issues of the people of Kavale?
I think, in all honesty, there has to be a realignment of priorities. What are your priorities as a government in terms of provision of services to your people? As I said, healthcare is one of the basic services a society needs. A society needs healthy people in order for them to be productive and to live with dignity, which is all humanity requires. And in my opinion, the priorities have not been right. The priorities have tended to focus, like Professor said, on urban areas, especially Kampala and the suburbs of Kampala, to make it look and appear that the hospitals that resemble hospitals in New York or London or that you find in Kampala represent what the healthcare of Uganda is, which is a fallacy, as we know, because 20% of the population live in the cities, and even in the cities, that 20% can't access healthcare because you never attempted to improve the healthcare in the first place. All you did was put a physical building and say, okay, we have CT scanners, we have MRIs, we therefore are modern, you know, a country. It has nothing to do with those slums and the people in these slums and the water that runs that is contaminated and the environment in which they live. You have to attend to the entire populations. Like I said, you know, Shaka, we were sent to train to address these problems as healthcare workers, not as medical care workers, as healthcare workers, to improve healthcare at the district level, and then the university level, like Kabale, and then at just that university, not to be a university like a University of London, and training doctors as University of London, but to train doctors with the same quality of training and same capabilities of training, but more geared to improving healthcare at community levels. And I think if the government realigned its priorities and its focus and put its focus and help on institutions like Kabale University that are trying to train, you know, doctors and healthcare workers geared to going to serve the community, man the health centers, direct the community, work with the community, the teachers, the school teachers, the religious leaders, the government leaders at community level, to all band together and give healthcare the priority it deserves, because that is what people need, is health. And health, you can define it in many ways. It's being comfortable in your mind. It's sleeping in peace. It's being able to go to church peacefully. It's being able to invite your friends. It's being able to hold a wedding. It's being able to afford daily activities. It's being able to raise your children. It's being able to get them to schools and being able to afford them. Shaka, because you've interviewed many leaders across Africa, many leaders have deviated from the communities that they serve. We need to first take care of the people, you know, first, and then maybe, you know, then maybe we can afford some of the luxuries. But there's been that discordance, you know, in which I'm trained, like you asked me, would you train your child in that institution? And I said, no, not yet. But maybe when this criteria has been met, I would be more than happy to send my child to Kabale Medical School, you know, knowing that they're training him for the goals that we're trying to achieve.
One of my intellectual colleagues told me that all of life is about passion, action, and reaction. That to ignore the passion, action, and reaction of your time or your generation is to risk having not really lived at all, occupying space. Is that what we would like our people to do? Professor Tumwesigire.
I think my personal view is that each of us in life should have something that they look out for, to live for, and therefore to act and ensure that the aspiration that is in their heads is realized, if not fully, at least in the great majority of the times. Now, how does one be able to accommodate their aspirations? Of course, it's a very, very complex question and a situation, because we all depend on each other. But I think what Arthur was talking about of laying priorities and therefore strategies in order to achieve whatever, whichever objectives we have set ourselves out to achieve, depends on very many stakeholders. We, the health workers, would love, for instance, to be able to, yes, get the education and the skills that would enable us to work. Us as a child perhaps would not come to work and live in Kabale, because Arthur lives in a world that is different from the world that Tumwesigire is living in. And therefore, objective settings should be both at personal, at community, and at national level. It is true that there may be overall international or universal objectives and truth and whatever, which we would all like to be able to prescribe to. But I think, and Dr. Vikangaga said so, let us have the type of planning and objectives and aspirations that we can be able to actually go through and achieve, and then when we finish one set of objectives, that means we are progressing. Then we can replan and in that way be able to move from one lonely humble step to the next and to the next until perhaps we reach a level where we can compare ourselves to other countries and to other continents.
I do agree with you, of course, but we have to translate what we know, knowledge-wise, into action. We set out to come to Kabale campus through help by professors from New York, professors from San Francisco, professors from, you know, NGO-sponsored organizations to come to Kabale with two purposes. One, to see a rural health community that we could help develop and use it as an example for the rest of Uganda. In other words, know the number of people in that community, know where what the statistics are, you know, maternal mortality rates and infant mortality rates. Those have been the standard measure of the health of a community. Put the interventions in the health center, and then measure to make sure that we were right. Our interventions did result in the changes that we aspire to do. That is the MUCO project. How about the university project was to help you, assist you in any way with the challenges that you have in training, you know, doctors of good quality, of similar quality like we would see and train them here, you know, or in New York or wherever. And that has been an ongoing process, as you know. We still have challenges, you know, the COVID, you know, pandemic hasn't helped because that is 1 year gone where we haven't been able to come and assist you.
Right.
But the assistance is there. The assistance to the university is there. My hope is that with time, we will have graduates that are just as good as anywhere else, but also that are trained to target rural communities, not to go into urban communities and you know, and enjoy a beautiful house and, you know, and a beautiful car, you know, while charging tremendous amounts of money to patients who do not have the money, you know, and whom you're really not caring for other than treating that very problem that they come to you to see you for, you know, and sending them back to the same environment that creates the same problems, you know. So, you know, we are not there, but that was our aim. That was our goal with Kabale. It was supposed to be a targeted area for us to show great improvement in health education, great improvement in community health, and use it as an example for the rest of Uganda, if not the rest of the other countries in Africa.
When you two gentlemen and I were growing up in Uganda, we enjoyed relative, essentially what I would call social justice when it came to medical care. As a matter of fact, when you talked about medical care, you were talking about being a relative right for every Ugandan, no matter where he or she lived. But in doing my homework for this show, I realized that that is no longer the case. Medical care has turned out to be a privilege, and the privilege of the few. I was reading, for example, that the elite, especially the political elite and the rich folks, routinely go for medical checkup either in neighboring countries or go abroad or overseas. If true, then what happens to the vast majority of the people in Uganda in general and the people of Kabale in particular? Sam.
Well, I do not think, Shaka, that we should begrudge too much those who have the capacity or the ability to access the different levels of care. But what worries me as a health professional is the lack of equity. The lack of equity in the sense that maybe the basic infrastructure and the basic trained human resource to provide the minimum basic care one would expect if they visited any health facility, and these are at different levels. And it is true that the expected capacities at these different levels have been defined, and there are places where you go, for instance, if you have got a surgical problem, you expect that problem to be handled surgically. There are places at the same time which are lower, and if you went with a surgical problem, they are not expected to operate on you. So these are the basic capacities that we would expect to be available at least the public health facilities, which in my view were created to cater for the great majority of people who cannot afford to go and seek out private health care.
You know, it's interesting what you say, but I must still correct you. Do not confuse medical care with health care. You know, they are two different issues. You know,
I appreciate it.
The medical care, they may seek medical care in private institutions, usually for acute care problems. They have a fever, they have pneumonia. You know, they go get treated and given medications, or they're given medications, they go home. You know, it has absolutely nothing to do with the actual health care. Now, when we were studying health care, since we are in a program like this, and we're educating, you know, our viewers that are watching us, When we were studying healthcare is the country. You know, it is what people are about. You know, these other areas, you know, industrialization, all these other.
Now, when you talk about healthcare, are we talking about prevention here?
We're talking about prevention of disease is part of healthcare, but maintaining a healthy economic status at home is healthy.
I see.
Eating the right food makes you healthy. Having a balanced mental status makes you healthy. All these factors contribute to how productive you are in a society.
I see.
And how much you are able to do, and how much you are able to train your children to become engineers, to become whatever. It's difficult under very difficult circumstances when you have no money.
Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but I'm being reminded here by my boss that time is not my best ally. Our distinguished guests are Sam Tumwesigyire and Dr. Arthur Bikangaga. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beater, the people of Kabale. And please, please remember to keep the African hopes alive.